Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Where we're headed from the trade perspective, especially if you're listening to our markets update with Roy Mutoni a little bit earlier on, our emerging markets outlook is very much dependent on what our trade partners are up to, where their economic health happens to be, and the extent of our, I suppose, connection, intertwinedness, favored nation status with those partners. And so the trip to China by the president and a number of ministers over the last week was an important step. I mentioned to you last week the importance of it, and I had this discussion with Thembisa Fakude about the importance of that at a time when AGOA might very well be getting reviewed, which would be justifiable given the size of our economy, but for different reasons. And so I'm excited to welcome Professor Adrian Saville, Professor in Economics, Finance and Strategy at Gibbs and Founding Director of the Center for African Management and Markets, to help us understand precisely what the gains were from those 8 contracts the president has been celebrating. Adrian, welcome to Kaya Biz. How are you this evening?
Thank you. It's great to be with you. I'm good. From a windy Johannesburg.
It is, isn't it? It's been a while since we last chatted.
Adrian, it has been a while. Good to be with you.
Likewise. So these 8 agreements that SA and China signed up are being framed as an advancement beyond just being a raw materials provider to China and almost meeting the country a little bit closer to eye as a peer. What's your take?
You know, I think that's ambitious, imagine that we could do this on a sort of an equal footing or an equal weighting basis, compared to the economic and political gravity and weight of China. We really are a minnow. You know, the Chinese economy has gone from being 100th biggest economy in the world in 1970 to the largest economy in the world today, if you adjust for purchasing power parity. If you don't adjust for purchasing power parity, it's the second biggest. Either way, you're negotiating with an absolute economic and political giant. So this isn't done on an equal footing. Having said that, China has gone from being a relatively modest trade partner as recently as 20 years ago. The Chinese trade component represented 3-4% of our total basket, whereas today it represents closer to 20% of our basket. So a 5- or 6-fold increase over that period. And it's likely to continue to grow. And then there is the investment component, which we also need to add in.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the 8 agreements. We're kind of excited about an adjustment to how China views our beef exports in the instance of, say, disease or outbreak. And as I understand it, agriculture is probably the biggest winner in this particular, or after this particular visit.
Yeah, I read this carefully against the backdrop of your last interview, but where this takes us in terms of trade agreements or relationships is, more often than not, the barriers to trade are not the obvious tariffs or quotas, rather non-tariff barriers. And those non-tariff barriers can be explicit in terms of the ways in which you produce outputs have to comply with certain criteria. If they don't, then the goods aren't allowed in. You know, we'd refer to that as a non-tariff barrier. And if it isn't, if those don't sit resident in trade agreements, they can actually sit resident in your economic capability. You may well have a very willing trade partner, but if you can't get stuff from pit to port or from farm to, I'm trying to think what the F is here, you know, from farm to harbor.
Sure, yes.
Then it doesn't matter what the agreements look like. And you know, when I step back from these various agreements, notwithstanding the incredible intent and prospect that they represent, to me, the greatest concern is South Africa's ability to participate as a competitive and effective trade partner, whether it's with China or any other market for that matter. South Africa has to address those deficits that sit, bless you, that sit resident in our in our various clusters. Most obviously, our manufacturing cluster, which is where we have lacked so sorely.
100%. Lacked sorely, but not. It's nothing to be sneezed at, if you'll excuse the pun. The fact that the large reason that our manufacturing sector was gouged out was the very competitiveness of China. So now we either have to have a conversation on labor in a really serious way, in a way that we've pretended to for decades, or at the very least, you know, one of the things that China's hoping to help with is boosting our energy security. And I'm curious to know how they play a role in that, because it seems as though these several months of no load shedding certainly have helped the manufacturing sector, both in GDP and our consumer and business outlook.
Absolutely. You know, if you look at just what sits on the table at the moment in terms of new capacity that's going in, I speak, you know, from memory here, rather than having the absolute hard statistic in front of me. But I think that there's something like five or six gigawatts that's waiting to be installed. And if you look at the equipment that is coming in to sit behind those installations, now, the solar panels are and other supporting equipment, batteries that are coming in as part of these systems, are overwhelmingly Chinese. And so in the one breath, you know, Chinese equipment, solar panels, et cetera, have played an absolutely pivotal role in helping South Africa remedy the energy deficit that we've struggled with for a number of years. If you don't remedy that energy deficit, you can wish as much as you like for manufacturing to be restored and to grab share of world export markets. It's simply not going to happen, because investor confidence will remain in the shade, in the shadows. So, you know, in the one breath, you've got this very valuable equipment coming in to help us install that capability or capacity. But, you know, in the next breath, that then leaves us with a deficit. And the quid pro quo is, how do we use this recovering economic potential to find pockets of opportunity in the Chinese market?
Absolutely.
And other markets.
And other markets, indeed. Last question, just your take on this. As you said, investors need a bit of confidence. Job creation is amongst those, which China says it's hoping to provide or to assist with this $51 billion three-year funding that they intend to put into infrastructure projects and help create a million jobs. The first thing I want to ask is the way that Xi Jinping, I believe, phrased it was that it was increasing China's aid. Is that aid or debt?
It's going to be a little bit of everything because, you know, in part there's concessionary components. But when, you know, someone helps you a little further down the road, there's always a quid pro quo, you know, and so let's not be naive about that. In terms of the number itself, the number really is modest in the greater scheme of things. The total investment that's required to fix the infrastructure deficit, or to get us to scale in terms of infrastructure that's needed, this really is a small number in the greater scheme of things. You need multiples of those $51 billion to even get us close to the ball game in terms of having railroad and various other transport infrastructures that would allow us to compete effectively with that infrastructure installed.
I would think so. And just a final one, sorry. So given that it's going to be sort of cobbled, various financing structures cobbled together, I imagine some go straight to Treasury, some will be ring-fenced, I hope, or at least go directly into project finance, maybe via Operation Vulindlela. I guess we're going to find out, similar to the NDB, as they come along. You know, NDB gave us a bit for Transnet, a bit for water and sanitation.
Yeah. And so I haven't seen, you know, that detail. I'm not sure if you've got line of sight of it. I would infer exactly that, you know, that we will, it will be unraveled. That's probably the wrong word here. Unraveled is the wrong word, but, you know, it will be revealed or disclosed as we go along
in time.
With various, you know, pockets of funding made available to different ventures.
Right. Adrian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for helping us sort of understand a little bit of this these memoranda of understanding. Why does that always mess me up? Adrian is Professor in Economics. Thank you. Professor in Economics, Finance and Strategy at GIBS, the Gordon Institute of Business Science, and Founding Director of the Center for African Management and Markets. Always a pleasure to chat to him about policy and economic development in the country.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.